Hello, friends. It's me, Bethany Rutter, and I'm here with my good friend and business partner.
It's me, Alice Slater.
And we are here with yet another episode of What Page Are You On? How are you, my friend, Alice Slater?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I am fine. I'm alive and kicking.
I'm absolutely thrumming with the joy of book goss.
Yes, you know,
that
are.
Is the wind beneath my wings.
I love the goss.
The various prizes. You know, nudge, nudge, wink, wink.
That we may or may not be discussing today. We will be discussing today. Have you read anything exciting this week?
I can't remember if I discussed a book called Night Shift on the last episode.
You did. And I said, I want to read it. And then we said we will probably do a little book club ep on it because I want to read it.
Yeah, it's all flying back. So basically, it's been like crunch time for me with my novel. So since finishing Night Shift, I've picked up a book called The Divines, which I've read about 50 pages of.
Mm.
So I don't have much to say about that. Check back in with me next week.
I'll ask you then.
Yeah, how about you?
So I have been unusually productive this week in terms of my reading. I read... I wanted a juicy thriller, so I read Headhunters by Yo Nesbo, which is a classico. You know, he's always very reliable. And then I read, thinking it was going to get bloody nominated for the Bloody Women's Prize, and then it bloody didn't, I read Little Scratch by Rebecca Watson. But
oh,
I do
it's
not...
it's so good, though.
Yeah, I have no regrets about having read it. And I actually think it is wild that it wasn't nominated. So that's my take.
We will get to that.
And then I read a book that did get nominated for the Women's Prize, which is Piranesi by Susanna Clarke.
Ooh, we will get to that as well.
Which we will definitely get to in the fullness of time. So that is going to be the nature of our chat today, is it not?
Yes. We are going to just do a deep dive. Well, probably not that deep, let's be real. But we're going to do like a good goss session on the long list, what we think of each book, what we feel was maybe missed off the list, what we feel shouldn't have been on the list. Just like a no holds barred little natter about the whole thing. Yeah. So basically, yeah, the Women's Prize this year, the judges are allowed to pick up to 20 books, but they normally pick 16, and this year was no exception. So we have a long list of 16. On the whole, before we go into each book individually, what was your like vibe when you saw the long list?
Yeah, like it was more... I was happy to see a certain book on there, or a few certain books, but one in particular. And then apart from that, some of them I was like, oh, okay, that's fine. And then others I was like, well, I've literally never heard of that. So that's my vibe. How about you?
Yeah, same. I feel like with any prize long list, I'm always a bit disappointed if I've heard of every single book on the list.
True.
And there were a few on this list I hadn't heard of, so that's cool. I noticed, I felt genuine, pure delight at some of the titles that are on the long list. And I felt pure anger at another title that's on the long list, which we will get to.
We will get to.
I also feel like looking at this long list, having had a quick look at the blurb of every single book, so I kind of have a better idea of what they're all about. There are definitely some themes popping through. Themes of motherhood and family, grief and death, which is kind of... what I would expect. But there's also this theme of twins and duality, like siblings. I think there are three books in total which are about twins, which seems kind of strange to me. Like, what are the chances? Mm. And then, there's also a couple of books that deal with race and a couple of books that are specifically about like the female millennial experience. So, I think like thematically, there's stuff that interests me there and stuff that I'm not so excited about. And I think that kind of dictates which of the books that I haven't read I'm excited to seek out and which ones I will probably leave. All that being said, should we, as the YouTubers say, dive right in?
Let's dive right in.
So I was thinking we'd maybe take it in turns to introduce each book.
Yes.
All right, sweet. I'll start.
Please.
Yeah. So these are in alphabetical order of title. So the first one that we're going to talk about is Because of You by Dawn French. And this one is about two women who go into hospital. One leaves with a baby girl, but the other leaves with empty arms. So this one, again, has the themes of duality, and we have themes of motherhood, and we have themes of grief. What say you?
I mean, as much as I love Dawn French, it's never crossed my mind to read one of her books. But sounds interesting.
That is like the perfect summary. I'm like, I love her as a beautiful fat icon. I think she's hilarious. Here for her in every way, apart from in terms of literature, because I'm just not that excited about celebrity fiction.
Yeah, never crossed my mind. Never crossed my mind. But good for her to be on the women's prize long list. We love good it when a plucky upstart comes in.
Good for her, as long as it's not ghostwritten. And I think that's always the problem with celebrity penned work, is I have no reason to believe that this is definitely not ghostwritten or definitely ghostwritten, but I feel like with a celebrity, that is always
in the back of one's mind.
There's always a question mark, and I feel like ghostwritten work should be disqualified from being celebrated in this way, in my opinion.
True. You're not wrong, my friend. So the next one is Burnt Sugar by Avni Doshi, which I have seen around a lot but have not read. It's the one with the nice purple cover. You know what I mean.
The aloe vera.
The aloe vera. The vibe of Burnt Sugar is a poisoned love story, but not between lovers, between mother and daughter. In her youth, Tara was wild. She abandoned her arranged marriage to join an ashram, took a hapless artist for a lover, rebelled against every social expectation of a good Indian woman, all with her young child in tow. So it's about, a mother-daughter relationship. And I could definitely be interested in reading that.
Me too. I feel like, so ordinarily, themes of motherhood, I'm not necessarily that drawn to. But themes of women going wild, I am very drawn to. And I think the thrust of this book is that the mother has dementia.
Yes.
So the daughter is, like, kind of have to, like, there's like a role reversal, which sounds very moving and very interesting. And this one, I think, was it shortlisted for the Booker as well?
That rings a bell. Yeah, you could be right, my friend. But yeah, this one, yeah, I feel like there's definitely enough there, and I like the cover. So I could definitely be tempted to read this.
Yeah, I'm excited for this one. I think this is like top of my list of books I haven't read yet that I will now be reading. Next on the list is a book called Consent by Annabel Lyon. So this one is about twins again. This is our first book about twins. So this one twin is really focused on studies. The other one is a glamorous thrill seeker. Immediately love that dynamic. And then one is the kind of thrill seeking one is injured in a terrible accident. So Saskia puts her life on hold to look after her. But then meanwhile, there is another set of sisters called Sarah and Mattie, who also have a difficult dynamic. Mattie needs full-time care, and Sarah loves nothing more than a fancy, high-flying lifestyle. And when their mother dies, Sarah has to give up her lifestyle in order to take care of her sister.
Interesting. So,
two sets of sisters, both along the theme of caring full-time for a loved one. I'm really intrigued by this.
Yes, there's a little line towards the end of the description that you have not read that is very intriguing, which makes me more inclined to read it than without.
Oh, please. Share it with our good friends.
Gradually, Sarah and Saskia learn that both their sisters' lives, and indeed their own, have been altered by the devastating actions of one man. Ooh, juicy.
Suddenly it goes super sinister.
Yes, and exactly. I'm listening. We love a sinister overtone.
Yeah, so I'm excited about that one. I think that looks really good as well. In fact, I was so excited, I bought it immediately yesterday.
Oh, cool. Because, this is one that I don't know. I cannot say for sure if I had actually heard of it before this long list. So I'm glad that it's been put on my radar, if it indeed does bang.
What threw me, though, is that there is another title called Consent that has just come out from Fourth Estate.
Oh, that is confusing.
The author escapes me now for the other one, but that one is nonfiction and this one is fiction.
Okay.
So it is possible that it has evaded you for that reason.
Yeah. Well, the next one on our little list is one that we spent a whole episode talking about last week because we love it so much, which is Detransition Baby by Tori Peters. Please do listen to that episode because all we want is for everyone to read this book. This is like the one book that I just wanted it to be on this list so much in terms of quality and also kind of ideology of the prize.
Yeah.
Because Tori Peters is a trans woman and the subject of the book is about kind of three people trying to decide whether to raise a child between them. One of which is a trans woman. One is someone who was a trans woman but has now detransitioned, and the other is a cis woman, and it's just so wonderful, and I cannot recommend it enough.
I feel like if you come away from this episode having read none of these books, this is the one to start with.
Agree.
Yeah, love it.
So yeah, we've gone on the record extensively about how much we love this book, so we will not labour the point in this episode, and we will move on to the next.
So the next one is Exciting Times by Neisha Dolan. This one is about a young woman called Ava who goes and spends a year in Hong Kong teaching English to rich children. While she's there, she embarks on two different relationships, one with a rich dude called Julian and another with a woman called Edith. And that's all I kind of have to say about that one. I feel like it's very millennial woman finding her way through the world.
Okay. Yep.
I think it's fine.
Okay.
You know, I really like Neisha Dolan. I think she's really funny and I like the voice. But if I'm really honest, it wasn't the most exciting of times. And I say that with nothing but love and respect for the author.
Reasonable.
It definitely has captured a lot of people's imaginations, though. So I do not have any beef with it being on this long list.
So the next one on the list was How the One-Armed Sister Sweeps Her House by Cherie Jones, which is another one that I had not encountered before this long list. But I will read the blurb to you. In Baxter's Beach, Barbados, Lola's grandmother Wilma tells the story of the One-Armed Sister, a cautionary tale about what happens to girls who disobey their mothers. For Wilma, it's the story of a willful adventurer who ignores the warnings of those around her and suffers as a result. When Lala grows up, she sees it offers hope of life after losing a baby in the most terrible of circumstances and marrying the wrong man. And Mira Whalen, it's about keeping alive, trying to make sense of the fact that her husband has been murdered and she didn't get the chance to tell him that she loved him after all. So, yeah, seems like there's interesting themes there. Maybe not the kind of book I would necessarily gravitate towards were I not strongly recommended it by someone who's read it. So if you've read it, please let me know if we should read it.
I have seen some buzz about it. I feel like the people who have read it seem to have loved it.
Cool.
But I haven't had a personal recommendation yet. So, you know, I'm interested. I'm intrigued.
Yes.
I'm considering it. You know, we'll see what happens. We'll see if, like, the buzz grows. But, yeah, generally, I think, like, intergenerational stories are not necessarily something that I automatically gravitate towards.
Yeah.
So we'll see. As I say, because that said, I think there is... We'll get to it. So next on the list is Luster by Raven Lalani. This is the one that made me scream when I saw it on the list because I was so happy. Because with Detransition Baby, the eagle-eyed Eliza Clark spotted the Women's Prize Twitter account posted a picture of all the books, like, just with their spines concealed, saying, like, oh, going to be announcing the long list today. And she spotted that you could see the very edge of the Transition Baby's cover. So
the
I wasn't
pink and red cover. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I liked that. I loved that for Eliza.
Yeah, I know. It really entertained me. So yeah, I'd already celebrated that one. So Luster was like the big surprise entry for me. This one is about a woman called Edie. She is living in New York. She's in a dead-end job in an all-white office. She's sleeping with bad dudes. She's not having the best time. And then she meets this guy called Eric, who is a white middle-aged archivist with a suburban family, wife and child. The child is black, and the kind of novel, that's kind of, I'd say, like the heart of the novel, is her navigating this relationship. The dude is, by the way, it's an open marriage, so their relationship isn't a secret, it's not an affair, but it's her navigating this like constantly shifting landscape of sexual and racial politics as a young black woman. Wasn't already hard enough, but with nowhere else to go, she finds herself falling headfirst into this man's home and family. I loved it.
Yeah, this is a banger.
Loved
she just
it, loved
writes
it, loved
in such a, yeah, a readable way, a way that you, I find so pleasurable to read, so engaging.
And I think we might have discussed it on the pod already.
Yeah, we've never dedicated a whole episode to it, but we have mentioned it quite a few times. So please do listen to us and read Luster if you haven't.
Yeah, it's just fantastic. And I think it really, it hits the spot, my sweet spot of like millennial women, or like women in their 20s, I should say, like finding themselves and figuring out where they are and what they want to be. But it also is so fresh. It brings this whole new edge to it. You know, with kind of navigating the racial politics of her relationship and this man with this man, and also her relationship with this man's daughter. It's just fantastic. Loved it.
So in the vein of millennial literature, the next book on the list is No One Is Talking About This by Patricia Lockwood, which I have not read, partly because when I was offered a proof of it, I was like, no, I don't think I'm super interested. And then I lived to regret that and will be reading it soon. So have you read this, Alice?
I haven't.
I was going to ask you to nutshell it if you had, but if you haven't, I'll read the little blurb. A woman known for her viral social media post travels the world speaking to her adoring fans, her entire existence overwhelmed by the internet, or what she terms the portal. Are we in hell? The people of the portal ask themselves. Are we all just going to keep doing this until we die? Suddenly, two texts from her mother pierce the fray. Something has gone wrong, and how soon can you get here? As real life and stakes collide with the increasing absurdity of the portal, the woman confronts a world that seems to contain both an abundance of proof that there is goodness, empathy, and justice in the universe, and a deluge of evidence to the contrary. Yeah, I don't know. I've laughed at her tweets in my life, but then no one whose tastes I really trusted was wild about Priest Daddy, which was her kind of memoir.
Yeah.
So I wasn't super looking forward to this novel, but then I feel like I am curious enough about it that maybe I'll give it a go.
My beef with Priest Daddy is very similar to my beef with Three Women by Lisa Taddeo.
Yep.
The problem I have with both books is that on a line level, loved it. Love the way they write, really compelling. But the books are nonfiction and neither story were particularly interesting.
Yeah.
And like the thing with Priest Daddy is that the blurb says everything you need to know. I don't actually feel like the story that she told was a story that I particularly needed to hear. I wasn't particularly interested in it and it didn't really go anywhere. So I'm excited. I'm cautiously excited to see what she does with fiction where, you know, you can have some narrative control over making a story a bit more spicy. And, you know, it's about internet culture and social media, which interests me greatly. So
because
I'm cautiously
curious. The time. We be on the internet.
We be on the internet.
I'm like cautiously optimistic.
But I believe I recall that you may be procuring a copy soon. So I'm excited to see what you think. And maybe we'll be able to update our friends at home once you've read it.
Yes. Please tell me about the next one.
Okay, so this was the first one I hadn't heard of.
Yeah, I haven't heard of this either.
And I'm not that surprised I haven't heard of it, because I think it's also the one that's one of the ones that's like the furthest from my taste. So this one is Nothing But Blue Skies by Kathleen McMahon. This one is about marriage. So it's a man whose wife dies and he suddenly has time and space to rethink his life with this woman and reflect on the changes in their relationship over the many decades that they spent together. And he basically, something about secrets and hidden in plain sight makes him wonder if he ever really knew her or did he even know himself? I feel like this is something that would maybe appeal to me in a decade or two. But right now, this like, I'm presuming, but maybe incorrect, middle class marital reflections just... I'm not interested, to be perfectly honest.
There's not enough there.
I'd need to get like a really solid recommendation for me to feel excited to read about that kind of subject matter.
Or to know that there was like another layer to it that, you know, do you know what I mean? Like an extra little sprinkling of something thematic or, you know.
I just feel like my tastes just run a little bit more kind of dark, and a reflection on grief and reevaluating a relationship with a spouse. I'm not sure about that. Just sounds like sounds a bit more like quiet literary fiction. I just like something a little bit more edgy,
a little bit spicier.
I'm happy to be proven wrong. I just don't want to discover it for myself. So if someone's read this and thinks it's great and that I'll love it, let me know, and maybe I'll take it for a spin. I am so glad that you're doing this one, because I do not even know how the fuck I would sum it up, having read this blurb like 6 times. I don't understand what it's about, but I'm excited for you to tell us.
So it is very wild. So this is Piranesi by Susanna Clarke. I will preface this by saying I have not read Jonathan Strange and Mr. Norrell. It looked too long, wasn't bothered. I think I started listening to it on an audiobook once and was just like, nah. But maybe I'll revisit it now, because I read Piranesi today, like in this day.
As we speak.
In the day that we are recording this, at lunchtime. So I read it all this morning. And it banged. Like, it genuinely was so good. It's so wild. I don't really know how to explain it, but it's basically about a dude who seems to be living in like a flooded museum, and there's someone else there who comes and visits him occasionally. And it's, I don't even know how to explain it, but you don't really know where he is or why he's there. And then as the book goes on, things become more apparent, and it is so good. It is just like the kind of book where you're like, how did this idea come to someone? Like, it's so imaginative and inventive. And yeah, I absolutely loved it.
Okay, so I have two things to say.
Hit me.
Firstly, I feel like you need to get Jonathan Strange and Mr. Norrell on audio, because it's really fucking long.
Yeah, I'm going to love it. I'm going to love it. I'm in the mood.
My husband
now.
Alex, it's his one of his favorite books.
Cool.
So it comes with a recommendation. You know, a personal recommendation from someone whose taste you may or may not trust. I don't know what your relationship is to Alex's reading. But yeah, I feel like the length and the fact that you love Piranesi suggests that you're going to love that too. And then the second thing I was going to say is that this book and like people's response to it, it kind of makes me think of Circe, which is something which I looked at and thought, doesn't it like one for me? But then its reputation ended up encouraging me to pick it up, and I fucking loved it. So I think I will read this, because it's fun sometimes to challenge yourself and read something that, you know, is not necessarily the kind of thing that you'd pre-order.
So true. And at least with this one, it is relatively short. So I think it's intriguing enough that you start reading it, and it's a little bit hard to get into at first, but you are so kind of like, what's going on here, that you keep reading. And then by the time you've been reading for like an hour, you're essentially like a third of the way through. And by that point, you're so invested in it that you want to keep going. The book, it reminded me of the most, for at least like the first half, was weirdly, I Who Have Never Known Men by Jacqueline Harpman.
Ooh.
Just in terms of like, you're in this world with somebody who doesn't really know, who never really communicates to you how they got to this place that they're in. Do you know what I mean?
Love that. Yeah.
So yeah, you know that something has happened, but you don't know what it is. And it's this person kind of traversing this unfamiliar landscape, and you're kind of watching how they live and how they survive, who else exists in this landscape with them. Obviously, it's like the books are actually very different, but that's the kind of vibe that I was reminded of. And yeah, I think it's so good. So I think you would not regret a purchase.
Okay, I'm going to read that. I'm excited. Man, just side note, I cannot wait to go to a bookshop and be able to just
touch the books, peruse,
pick up the things I've been fancying. Like, oh, I cannot wait.
To do an IRL vibe check of all of these books.
Yeah, exactly. Just to read the first page. Just see what's what. Do what our friend Emily Hatzar does, which I think is the most wild thing I've ever heard, and just flip through and read a random page.
Oh, she's a wild card.
She is a law unto herself. Anyway, next on the list is a book called Small Pleasures by Claire Chambers. This is another one that I thought I hadn't heard of it, and then when I saw the cover properly, I realised I had. It's got like oranges on the cover.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Like, this is one where if you said the name to me, I'd be like, I don't think I've heard of that. But then, yeah, it's like kind of white and turquoise with oranges.
It's a really nice, really striking cover. So this one, it's set in the late 50s. It is about a journalist for a local newspaper who is contacted by a woman who's claiming that her daughter is the result of a virgin birth, and the reporter, it's up to her to try and work out whether this is miraculous or fraudulent.
Interesting.
I'm like, okay, I feel like that blurb sounds intriguing. But then there's this line about Jean is suddenly given an unexpected chance at friendship, love, and possibly happiness. And I'm like, ooh, maybe it's a little bit too bright for me. So yeah. I don't know. Again, we'll see. Themes of motherhood doesn't necessarily grab me. But again, if you've read this one, I would like to know about it.
Tell us more. Tell us if that is the vibe. So the next one is Summer by Ali Smith. Have you read this, Alice?
I haven't. I love the idea of Ali Smith, but I've actually only read like two of her books.
I have read zero because I've tried to and I've just been like, you know what? I think not for me.
What have you tried to read, first of all?
I don't even know. All the titles sound the same to me. I don't know.
So The Accidental absolutely bangs like a drum.
Okay, maybe I'll try and revisit and start with that.
So The Accidental is quite experimental in its like approach, but it's just incredible. Also can highly recommend Hotel World, which is like 4 or 5 interlinking short stories, and I loved it. And also Girl Meets Boy is the one that literally in a bookshop I worked at, like 2 different people were like, oh my god, I read that book and that's how I realized I was gay. So I feel like that has a lot going for it as well.
Interesting.
I feel like this is, she's sort of like, she's very women's prize fodder, isn't she? Like, it was kind of a good for her moment, but kind of unsurprising.
Yes. So the vibe of this one is, in the present, Sasha knows the world's in trouble. Her brother Robert just is trouble. Their mother and father are having trouble. Meanwhile, the world's a meltdown, and the real meltdown hasn't even started yet. In the past, a lovely summer, a different brother and sister know they're living on borrowed time. So, you know, intriguing.
I mean, yeah. I feel like maybe in the future, because I am sold on Ali Smith, but I also find, like, she just has such a huge body of work. I almost don't know where to go next. So maybe one day I will read her, like, season quartet. Is that what they're called?
Yeah. And I also just feel like enough people are so into her that, like, I am curious. It's not like I started reading it and then I wrote her off forever. I started reading one, wasn't vibing with it, but I knew that I will probably come back to it sometime.
I just really think The Accidental is the one for you.
Okay, cool. I trust you, my friend. That is why we do this pod together.
Oh, it is, isn't it? Perfect love and perfect trust.
Speaking of perfect love and perfect trust.
For an example of none of those things is a book that we're not going to fucking talk about. I'm not interested in discussing it. I'm not acknowledging it. As far as I'm concerned, there are 15 books on this long list, and I'm not interested in reading something which comes from someone who is so ideologically repulsive to me.
And also, that's all I have to say on that. Additionally, put Mislexia and its staff through an awful lot of actual real world trouble, anxiety, and stress. So yeah, we will not be discussing The Golden Rule. We will be moving on to The Vanishing Half by Britt Bennett, which we have both read.
This is much better vibes. Much better vibes. Shall I do this one?
Yes, please.
So this one is about twins. So it's our second book about twins. Second or third? Second. So twin sisters who grow up together in a small southern black community, and they run away at the age of 16. One of them passes as white and decides to live her life as a white woman. She marries a white man and kind of cuts herself off from her family, whereas the other does not. She marries a black man and has a child and brings her daughter up knowing about her racial identity. And the book is about not just how their lives are affected, but how their daughter's lives are affected by each choice that they make. And it's incredible. It's really incredible.
It's so interesting.
I was not surprised to see it on the long list, but I feel like it really has earned its place there. And also earlier on in this pod, I said that I'm generally not that excited by intergenerational narratives. And then I was like, oh, but of course I did actually really like this book. So yeah, maybe sometimes I say things that I don't really mean. I don't know.
So true. But yeah, I love The Vanishing Half. This has been discussed enough over, you know, it came out last summer and I feel like so many people must have mentioned it on social by now that like, we don't need to sell it to you anymore, but indeed we will. So if you haven't read this, I would strongly recommend.
Yeah, take it for a spin.
So the next one is Transcendent Kingdom by Yaa Gyasi, which despite the fact that I loved Homegoing, I haven't actually read, which is not smart of me.
Same.
Yeah, I will read it. But yeah, I guess it's just that not having really been in a bookshop, and if books don't end up falling across my lap these days, I don't tend to, I don't know, yeah, maybe I've got out
this
of the
habit.
This
one as well, though. The release date changed like multiple times.
Yeah.
I think it was supposed to come out last spring. Understandably, like everyone else, they pushed it back to the autumn. And then I checked in with it again and they pushed it back again to March 2021. So it is now out. But yeah. I think I've just been checking up on it so often. Now it's finally come out. I missed it. Yeah. So I will pick it up and read it. But I haven't been to a bookshop, so I haven't had the opportunity to do that yet. But I will read it because I loved Homegoing. I feel so bad. Which is also intergenerational. So again, another example of me telling my lies.
She tells so many lies. But yeah, something I was thinking about was how bad I feel for all of the authors whose books were postponed, but then still ended up coming out in a time when bookshops were closed. Like, that really sucks.
That is bad fucking luck, isn't it?
Yeah.
And it's one thing to make that decision, I guess, in March, move the release to the autumn, because you would realize, they would have known that that wasn't going to happen. But to have been moved to a full year later and still catch the end of, well, hopefully, the end of lockdown in this way, like, that's bad luck.
Yeah. Yeah, like, I don't know. Yeah, I feel so bad. There are so many people I know whose books got delayed. And then, you know, the position that we're in now is not really materially that much better. But yeah. So, Transcendent Kingdom, I will read you the little blurb because I have not read it, so I can't do it any other way. As a child, Gifty would ask her parents to tell the story of their journey from Ghana to Alabama, seeking escape in myths of heroism and romance. When her father and brother succumb to the hard reality of immigrant life in the American South, their family of four becomes two, and the life Gifty dreamed of slips away. Years later, desperate to understand the opioid addiction that destroyed her brother's life, she turns to science for answers. But when her mother comes to stay, Gifty soon learns that the roots of their tangled traumas reach farther than she ever thought. Tracing her family story through continents and generations would take her deep into the dark heart of modern America. That sounds so interesting.
It sounds really good. It also sounds like thematically it has some shit in common with How the One-Armed Sister Sweeps Her House.
Yes.
Like, I'm just thinking about, like, the telling of stories and, like, that kind of thing. So, yeah, a nice addition to the list, I think. And I'm excited for Yagyasi because I thought Homegoing was incredible. And I don't feel like it caused the, like, it didn't quite cause the waves that it should have done, and I don't know why.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, you're so right.
Like, everyone who's read it loves it, you know? Like, it's definitely not unsung by, like, how well-received it was, but I don't recall it making it onto any, like, long lists or short lists. It certainly didn't win any big prizes. I might be misremembering that, but it definitely wasn't as celebrated, like, through the, like, industry as much as it could have done.
So true. I'm also interested in this book because I'm interested in, like, I'm interested in seeing a kind of black rendition of the opioid crisis in America. I think that's very interesting.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So, hyped to read this at some point.
And then the last one on the long list is Unsettled Ground by Claire Fuller. This is one that the author did this incredible video of her book cover, where she basically placed the book in the garden and covered it in, like, worms and slugs and things, and then did a time lapse of all these, like, little creepy crawlies wiggling off. Oh, it was just so gross and fascinating. I watched it like 16 times.
This sounds so you.
I know. I'm like, oh, it was horrible. I loved it. So this one is our third book about twins. This introduces Jeannie and Julius, who at 51 years old are still living with their mother in rural isolation and poverty. They have a very kind of, like, creative lifestyle. They make music and they garden and they grow their own things. And then their mother dies and everything changes. And suddenly they have their tiny little sanctuary is kind of ruined. They have to interact with the outside world in a way that they never have done before and start uncovering, like, their mother's secrets and things that they didn't necessarily realize about their lives. So it's a portrait of life on the fringes of society that explores with dazzling emotional power how we can build our lives on broken foundations and spin light from darkness.
Mm.
I'm interested.
Well, yeah, and also, do you remember that she wrote a book that we have discussed on the pod?
No.
She wrote Bitter Orange. Do you remember when we read
three
citrus books in one episode? We read Tangerine. We read the stupid one. What's it called?
I don't want to say now. You've called it that.
You know what I'm talking about.
Blood Orange.
Blood Orange. Yeah, that one. Yeah. And then there's this one called Bitter Orange. And I think, from what I remember, Bitter Orange was the one that we thought was the best.
Yes. So. Yes. Yes. Oh, my God. Yeah. The trio of people living in the, like, dilapidated. Yeah,
exactly.
Okay, so I've gone from, like, curious to enthused. I did not realize I'd already read a book by this author, which is just, I feel like there is no excuse for that. I'm normally so good at keeping track of people, but
Well, what I think is quite interesting is her name is not like incredibly unique. Her name is Claire Fuller. You know, it's a name. It has not stuck in my brain in a very meaningful way. But when you look at the books that she's written, they all look quite different. She's also written this book called Our Endless Numbered Days, which I remember like other people talking
yes.
about. So all of the books, I feel like, do you know what I mean? It's not like she's someone
who's... different energy.
Very different energy and different vibes. So I think you can maybe be forgiven for not having kept intimately up to date with her goings on. But yeah, that's
I'm
the same
sure.
author.
Yeah, I guess that the books haven't potentially been sold off the back of the one before, which is what normally happens.
Mm.
Well, Claire Fuller, if you're listening, I apologize. I love your writing and I can't wait to read this book.
Exactly. All's well that ends well.
But isn't that wild that that is three titles that feature twins?
Yeah,
how
something's going
many,
on.
How many members of the panel were twins? That's my question.
So true.
So for you, key omissions...
Well, Boy Parts was one that I would have liked to have seen and would have kind of thought was an easy win for the prize in terms of like it's a really well-liked book by a woman that's from an indie press. And you'd have, I don't know, I just feel like that makes them look good, you know, if for no other reason.
Yeah, but the terms of choosing books for the long list, they very explicitly say... that it's nothing to do with who the author is or where they come from, like not just kind of geographically, but also in terms of what kind of press they come from. They make, in theory, no effort to balance the list at all. It's based purely on the text.
Yeah, but
so
it's,
but like, I don't feel like that's right. You know, like yeah. I think it's okay to put some work into ensuring you have a good balanced representation of the landscape of women's publishing that year.
Because right now, like, I'm looking at the spines of the books and I can't tell what Nothing But Blue Sky was published by. But in general, this is all very what you would expect in terms of imprints of big five publishers.
Yeah, I don't think there are any indies on this list. Forgive me if I'm wrong. I'm not looking at a list of publishers. I'm just going by my memory. And that's a shame. And like I did kind of expect to see Mermaid of Black Conch, Monique yeah. Coffey. I expected to see that on this list just because I feel like, you know, it won the Costa. It was definitely longlisted for something else. It's been making waves and it would have been quite exciting
Pardon
to
the
see.
Pun.
But indeed, oh, I enjoyed that too much. But yeah, it would have been nice to have seen that. But then I guess also, I know sometimes people say, but therefore it probably doesn't need more press. But I don't feel like that's what prizes shouldn't be taking into consideration what other prizes are doing when they choose their long lists.
True.
I think also just like there is a huge number of these books are about motherhood and siblings and family. And I think of those as quite... I don't know, like themes that are just a little bit hackneyed for books.
A women's prize.
Yeah. And I don't know if that's just kind of an unfair thing to say, because as a childless woman, I'm naturally slightly less interested in the concept of having children as a theme in a novel.
But as
and
we
I
talked
love
about
Detransition
bloody,
Baby.
Yeah, I was going to say, as we talked about with Detransition Baby, it's, you know, it's not the theme itself that's off-putting, it's the execution.
Yeah, exactly.
I could read five, you know, five kind of motherhood narratives if they were as compelling as Detransition Baby. It's just they're often
yeah.
not.
That's true.
The other book that I was, you know, saddened to not see on the list was Little Scratch by Rebecca Watson,
yeah.
which
That's
I read
exactly
this
what
week.
I was going to say.
Completely expecting to have read it in anticipation of being able to talk about it, and then it's not there. But yeah, I'm really glad I read it because I loved it.
Yeah, I feel like that's a massive shame because I really loved Little Scratch and I felt like it was doing something fresh and original whilst also being part of like the pantheon of like experimental fiction. I just loved it. I thought it was a really valuable addition to the landscape this year and I would have liked to have seen it get some recognition.
Agree.
Yeah, and I just, you know, I kind of, the problem is I feel like it's a really strong list. So, and I just, it just makes me look at the Dawn French edition and just think, if that fucking book is ghostwritten, what a waste of a slot, you know? Because I, not all prizes make a big difference in the grand scheme of things to books, but I do think that some of them readers look to, you know, like readers are excited about the long lists of the Women's Prize and the Booker. And it can make such a massive difference to sales. And yeah, obviously this isn't something that I would expect judges to take into consideration. But yeah, I am disappointed not to have seen those three titles.
Well, especially because if you can choose up to 20 and you choose to only choose 16, I don't know, it's an interesting decision.
Yeah, I don't know. I actually also, I have no idea what that's all about. Like, everyone always says they're allowed up to 20, but they always pick 16. And I'm like, why?
Why?
Like, what tell happens? Why. Yeah. Why couldn't we have made it 17 and just include one of a fucking independent press? Just for balance, you know? Yeah. The other one that I kind of half expected to see was Exit Management by Naomi Booth.
Mm.
That was a Dead Ink book, which I thought it had a shoe-in. So I was surprised not to see it there.
Well, what do we know?
Absolutely nothing. I can't wait to see the shortlist. Should we do shortlist predictions? What would your shortlist be?
How many is on the shortlist?
6.
So of these, I'd probably go for Detransition Baby, Luster, Piranesi, Vanishing Half, and then probably the Yag Yassi, even though I haven't read it. And then I don't know what the 6th would be, but maybe, yeah, I don't know. One of the ones that I thought sounded banging.
Yeah, my guess for number 6 would be between Burnt Sugar, Consent, and How the One-Armed Sister Sweeps Her House.
Mm.
Obviously, caveat that I haven't read any of those three, but I feel like Burnt Sugar has a shoe-in because of its Booker placing. How the One-Armed Sister Sweeps Her House, I feel like I've seen a lot of buzz for. And then Consent is the one that I personally am probably most excited to read by a hair. Mm. By a hair. So,
intrigued. Yeah,
otherwise I'm in agreement.
Well, only because they're the ones I've read. I mean, I only chose ones that I've actually read. So
yeah, I know.
My predictions.
Saying, like, thing is, I don't think I'm ever going to be the kind of person that's like, I will read the entire long list to make my shortlist prediction. Like, my desire to create good content for the pod is, you know, it's strong, but it's not that strong, you know.
Well, yeah, and also, you know, I'm not interested in all these books. I'm not necessarily, you know, something that we've kind of mentioned before is that, like, I'm not necessarily interested in the project of the Women's Prize. So I'm interested in it as like a cultural moment that a lot of authors and readers that I know are interested and invested in. But as a thing, it's not something that's going to necessarily like guide my reading choices. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, 100%. And I think the fact that, you know, the themes that we've picked out from this year's long list, the fact that motherhood and family is so well represented is one of the reasons why I'm not necessarily massively influenced by this prize in particular. But the reason why we've chosen to do an episode about it is just because obviously it's our demographic and we're more likely to have read books on the long list than we would have done for, say, the Booker Prize, which
totally,
usually yeah. I've only read one or two. But yeah, let us know if you liked this episode, if you'd like to see us do breakdowns like this more often, because I enjoyed it, but mainly because yes. I'd read so many of them.
Yeah, and I'd at least read a few. So thank you so much for joining us for this little chat about the Women's Prize. Let us know if there's books that we have maybe not been as hyped about that we should have been hyped about, things you've read from the list that you would like to tell us you enjoyed. You know where to find us, What Page Pod on Twitter and Instagram. Any last words, Alice Slater?
Nothing from me. We will see you next time.
Bye.
Bye.